Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest, and we are glad that you are. Thank you for joining me tonight. Since time will fly, please let me do this little plug not to forget to follow Mrs. Green on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. You can do all of that by visiting my website at mrsgreensworld.com. And remember that I am live here every Saturday, Mrs. Green's World, interviewing informed, interesting people from all over the country who are committed to making the planet a better, healthier place for all of us in some way, which is a perfect segue to introduce my guest because she is a person on the planet who is doing her part to make our planet a better, healthier, safer place. And it's all about water, clean water. Her name is Mead Mayer, and she's got a long title. I got to do it, Mead. Senior Watershed Planner for the Sustainable Environment Program at Pima Association of Governments. How's that?
Yes.
I'm not going to say that every time because there's no break in the show. So welcome, Mead. And tonight we're going to talk about an incredibly important issue to me and an exciting issue because I never connected the dots as a consumer. And that's part of what we're hoping this show can do is educate people about the incredible impact that storm water has in our community because of the monsoons. It comes hard and it comes strong and it doesn't come enough. That's what I'm thinking recently. So we'll be talking about the newly launched Clean Water Campaign and how all of you listeners and citizens can help to make sure that our water is clean. So why don't we start with you giving a little bit of your explanation about what is your role as Senior Watershed Planner?
Well, thanks for having me. It's really nice to speak to a really receptive audience, a green audience. So PAG is the Regional Metropolitan Planning Agency.
Right.
So we do cross-jurisdictional planning, and water is definitely an issue that crosses jurisdictions. We all are connected through a common watershed, a common aquifer. So in watershed planning, we work in wastewater issues, groundwater issues, and then stormwater issues.
And so your expertise, do you work in all of them or do you have a particular focus?
I personally work mostly in monitoring riparian habitat, so the environment that relies upon water, and also in stormwater, which is the more urban form of
and sometimes absolutely devastating. I mean, those storms come in and you just go out and see the carnage. So that's part of what you're involved in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so my focus today was on the stormwater issues and how to prevent pollution to stormwater quality. And this is a really important issue in urban areas because we've really changed the way the hydrology functions in our urban habitat, whether it's the way we've paved over most of the surfaces.
Right, right.
So that makes
those
storms
runoff. So there's no place for the
runoff.
Water to go and absorb. Right, get
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't get absorbed. It doesn't get intercepted by the plants. It runs off more quickly. And then in our city especially, the streets are designed to convey the water. So they've taken the place of some of the washes.
No kidding. And you don't want to be on those streets. You know, like, don't go near El Renon because
exactly.
It's flooded. So they converge and go into the storm drains. Yes.
Yes.
Now, what about when you talk about the campaign, launching a campaign, is the major purpose of the campaign to get us as consumers engaged in what we can do to help with some of these issues? Because then there's also, you look at Tucson, and even though we've been in challenging economic times, there's a lot of building inside the city. And even with Imagine Greater Tucson, when I participated in that and the results were, people would like to see us build out more inside the city instead of sprawling out and going out into suburbs because they want more of a city life. So that will impact the water as well. The more growth we have in the city, I get it. I just connected another green dot. So would it be a good time, I mean, it's up to you, it's your show, but to go through, I think people like to know, what can I do? Just tell me, lead me, tell me what I can do. And you've provided me with a list. And I want to ask you about some of the things on the list of, you know, I love the concept of clean water starts with me. For everything, we need to think that. It really starts with me, not with the government or a mandate or a campaign. It starts with me.
Yeah. Our campaign is all about what can we each do to help improve our stormwater quality. And that's why we chose the word me at the end instead of saying you and directing it towards
that.
Others.
It does sound really good to me. So yeah. One of the things on the list is, it kind of makes sense, but can you connect the dots a little bit more for me about fixing leaky vehicles? So if I have a vehicle in my driveway and it leaks some oil, I'm assuming that just a little bit of it might be picked up in rainwater. Why do you say that as one of the top things people can do?
That the transportation connection is our theme that we're pushing this year, especially.
Okay.
Every year we change the theme so that people are always learning more information. So the transportation connection is not only that the water runs down our streets and picks up whatever pollutants are on it, but the cars that we drive also could leak and cause pollution. It also could come from our brake pads or tires. There's just a lot of transportation connections.
And as you say, when the surface is all solid, it's got to go somewhere when those heavy rains come. It poured last night where I was. It was like nobody would go out. You would get soaked in about 30 seconds. So that starts all the action going.
Yeah, and so after the water runs down the street, it goes into a storm drain. And what's unique in our region is it doesn't combine with the sanitary sewer. In other regions that many people come from and then end up living in Tucson, it combines with their sanitary sewer and gets treated. But here it goes directly from the storm drains into the washes. So we're not just protecting the stormwater infrastructure, the pipes
right,
that might be under
right,
the street,
right.
But we're protecting the natural waterways that the water ends
up. And the
in.
Critters.
And all the critters.
All the critters.
There's a great statistic that the Arizona Riparian Council puts out that over 70% of wildlife in Arizona relies on desert waterways for their survival.
And that's going to be a hook for people listening, because nobody really wants to hurt a little fawn or a little baby javelina. They don't want to hurt the animals. So when you start, clean water starts with me, your dirty water might end up harming one of the four-leggeds, and people really don't want to do that. So
exactly.
That's a great one. So keep your vehicle tuned up, make sure brake fluid isn't leaking, and look and make sure there's nothing dripping if it's in your garage or whatever. That's your piece
exactly.
of advice there.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's going to be kind of an easy one. If there's something leaking out of your vehicle, you want to know it anyway.
Yeah, you want to take care of your car anyway, but hopefully this is an extra motivator.
No kidding. Think of the four-leggeds. Okay, and then this one stymies me a little bit because we have become the total paranoid family. Properly dispose of used oils or leftover chemicals at household hazardous waste sites. We are now so conscious in our house, we don't throw anything away because we are Mr. and Mrs. Green. But sometimes it's like, well, where do we put this? Where are we going to, what are we going to do? The garage can only take so much. So what are some of the options people have in Pima County for their chemicals? And by that you mean paints and varnishes
yeah.
and any kind of toxic chemicals, used
leftover.
Car oil, if you put oil in your car.
The household hazardous waste has a great website, and you can find out when their collection events are. They also are open during the week. There's at least a couple sites in town where you can drop off your chemicals.
And some of the waste management facilities will take up to X amount of gallons, so that's good too. You can even take it to a waste management facility. And they'll do it. And there's a collection site, I know, on the east side, City Hall,
yeah.
at the first Saturday of every month. And it's staffed by volunteers, and the lines are unbelievable. I mean, people
Great.
Start lining up, which makes me feel good.
A lot of people care.
Yeah.
And that also became a concern because a lot of the stormwater managers in the region noticed that people were actually dumping used motor oil down drains or
no.
onto their property. And so we want them to know that they can take it to a proper disposal site. And even some mechanic supply places will accept oil back.
even if you are not so hot on saving the environment as you and I are, from a taxpayer standpoint, it makes sense too, because that stuff destroys the infrastructure, which then we as taxpayers have to pay for. So if you want to come at it from just an economic point of view, it really makes
prevention
a lot of sense.
Prevention is key. It's much harder to treat water later.
Oh, and it's just the thought of it. I mean, people, come on, wake up. And then what about harvest stormwater to green our streets and neighborhoods? Now, the first thing I thought of when I read that was rainwater harvesting, which doesn't make sense for everyone. It's not economically feasible for everyone. It's a great option. Lots of people are doing it. It's extremely popular. But are there other in-between steps that people can do to help harvest their water more safely or more environmentally consciously?
There are a couple different forms of rainwater harvesting. A lot of people think of the active form, which is gathering it off your roof and putting it into a cistern.
Right.
But it also covers the kind where you contour your land to slow down the water, help spread it out among your plants, help let it sink in and use that water rather than let it run off. And so this helps not only if somebody uses yard chemicals, it keeps their yard chemicals in sight where they intended it, where they paid to apply it. But also if people harvest the stormwater off the street, which is becoming more popular, there's more guidelines to allow people to do this. That helps process the water off the streets in these little pockets, these little manageable pockets, so that instead of these pollutants accumulating and running downstream, they flow into these little pockets that help water a tree that shades the sidewalk. And so all these multiple benefits start stacking up.
And does the dirt serve as a natural filter so it's not hurting the tree as what I would call raw water would, when you're putting all those pollutants just in water? If you put it in a berm, for example, or if you had a tree dug out, would it just go in there and it wouldn't be as polluted? Or
dirt filters it, and then there's also biological processes that happen where the pollutants help start breaking down in the soils, and a mulch might build up over time, and that helps process those pollutants even more. And it's really in a nice small quantity compared to if they all ran downstream into the wash, they would accumulate and be more,
more
concerning
harmful
levels there.
And by chemicals, you're talking about things like Roundup for weeds. When I see those commercials, I just have to hold my ears, because you can pull weeds and spraying chemicals on it. And again, when you try to think of the closed loop, yes, it will get rid of the weeds. Yes, it does wash into the water supply. And yes, it does hurt your pets, and it can hurt your children, little children, if they're crawling around on where you sprayed it. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I personally avoid
Roundup
the chemicals. There's certain ones that are known to be neurotoxins and endocrine disruptors. And
totally.
So I avoid them. I'd rather have little critters around. Also, there's alternatives like spraying vinegar or helping a natural mulch build up, which prevents weeds from growing through.
Sometimes, if for ants, you can use baking soda. I mean, there are natural alternatives. And the blessing that we have in this day and age is all you have to do is Google it. And you can find out so many natural alternatives that should work for you. But when you're talking about pesticides also, I admit it, I've had a pest control company since the first time I saw a scorpion in my house. And I'm from New Jersey, and it was like, this is not happening for me. But I've had guests on from the University of Arizona, scientists, and people that are experts in pesticides that manage large farming communities. And they're kind of advocating for, if you keep everything in your house clean, which I do, we do, and if you keep garbage away from areas, that it really, you don't need to have your yard sprayed. I have an eco-friendly pest control company that will tell you to a fairly well what he does and does not do for the chemicals. But sometimes I get a little pushback from the scientists saying, you know, you really don't need to do that either. What's your read on that?
That's great to hear. I myself have called an ecological pest control company when I found termites, because I was worried.
See, for termites, you have to do that.
And but I know my dog digs up parts of the yard, and I chose to protect her as well.
Yeah, the harm to the pets. It's another thing you have to think of. I mean, yeah. I've heard horror stories on the show about what happens from those things. So now what if my neighbor wants to spray chemicals on all of his property or her property, and I don't want them on mine? Are there neighbor-friendly suggestions that you might have so that their chemicals don't have to come on my trees?
That's another reason we encourage rainwater harvesting, the form that you do in the earthworks.
Right. The natural filter is what I'm going to call it now.
So if there was some terracing they could do to keep water on site, that would benefit their plants as well. So that should benefit both you and
we're downhill. I got to check out. We've got a lot of people here that are just down to xeriscape, and there's not a lot of grass growing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Weeds coming out. So that's one good thing. So they can actually protect them. Could I protect? I would have to build like a little wall and let it run off into the street if I didn't want their chemicals in my yard.
You could build a little catchment if you needed to.
Right. Okay. Now what about, how big of a problem is it? This one I can't even say because it's like, do we really have to tell people don't litter? Yes, we do. And that makes me very sad because how could you not? My daughter, who is 33, knew at 3 years old she wasn't supposed to throw garbage on the ground. And not even necessarily because we taught her. People litter, and you see it. Coming back from San Diego, I was like, I had to shield my eyes sometimes from all the garbage on the highways. But do people throw things down the drain, the stormwater drains?
Yeah, it's used as a waste receptacle.
Not even.
And it clogs it, and that just causes flooding in the neighborhood. Seems like a no-brainer, but we always keep that one on the list.
Really, because you're keeping on having it go clog up drains. Yeah. And I mean, you see when the rain, and I understand how, you know, some garbage can get in the drains because the wind comes and garbage is on top of a garbage can and it could blow off. I mean, I understand that, but people consciously throwing things in the drain.
Yeah.
Hello, maybe some of them are listening and saying, I'm sorry, Mrs. Green, I never thought about that, but I won't do it anymore.
I learned a fun fact too, that the phrase don't be a litter bug actually started in Tucson.
You're kidding.
Back 50 years ago.
50 years
so
ago.
I like to keep that phrase alive.
I was alive then, Reed. I mean, Mead, I was alive. Oh my gosh, yeah, I was alive. So don't be a litter bug. Okay, now how do you decide the planning piece of it? Because these are a lot of really good suggestions. You've got a whole city, a whole county. You've got lots of land, lots of water. What planning And not even just the planning for how to do better clean water starts with me and stormwater prevention activities and the awareness. How do you decide what's the priority, what you're going to come and tackle this year? What changes? Is there a planning mechanism for pulling all of this together? Because it's massive.
For stormwater, I work with the Stormwater Managers Working Group. So it's managers from across the region who are in charge of their jurisdiction. It's under the Clean Water Act that they're required to manage and monitor stormwater pollutants. So what we do is we hold meetings to get everybody together so they can share information and really exchange processes about how to work more efficiently. And that's why we hold this outreach together, so that there's a cohesive message across the region.
And can you think of any examples where, like, there's a vastly different problem in Phoenix versus Tucson? Do you work with Tucson also? I mean, with Phoenix also, or is it just more
we
southern?
We share some information with them. I think it's really hard because the monitoring that is done always shows different results of what pollutants are showing up because of the nature of our storms being spotty and flowing so quickly. It's really hard to actually monitor and get a really big overview picture. But there are pretty consistent results across the whole country that those top concerns are the pathogens that are in dog feces that we're responsible for.
Because we're going to talk about that one and we didn't. It cracks me up and I wanted to. It's just, how did I let that go on the list? This was when I got this email. It says, pick up where your dog left off. That's
that
a very clever one. I don't know who thought that one up, but it's like really good. And I'm like, really? We were in Buenos Aires last summer and there is no mandate for pet owners to clean up their waste. And I was going to ask you that. Are there,
isn't
it an ordinance here?
Locally, yes. And
why would people need an ordinance?
We made these new stickers that you should start seeing around all the parks in the city and the county that say, pick up where your dog left off, clean water starts with me. And we didn't put the ordinance number on there on purpose because we didn't want people to feel like they just had to do it, but we want them to know there's a purpose to this.
And to willingly participate. And I'd say most dog owners that I see around, they're very conscious. They're very conscious. How do you get around that? And you might know the answer to this. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I say to people, then you're using plastic bags. So I don't like those. Plastic bags are my public enemy number one to me, right there with plastic bottles.
We just try to teach that the feces don't degrade safely on their own. You would have to do some pretty sophisticated composting to
do that, to make it okay.
That.
And are the bags they give out in some of the parks, are they biodegradable or phytodegradable, or don't you know?
I'm not sure. I know
something
you can buy them that
in.
Way.
You can.
And
I know that.
Now that some of the parks don't have as much funding, there are some kind of handmade places to collect your reused grocery bags. You can bring them to the park, deposit them, and at least you're reusing.
At least you're reusing them. I know. We just have to get to the part where it's just reduce, number one.
So that's another area where the stormwater pollution doesn't just affect wildlife, but it affects people. Because people love to celebrate the rain here. They want to be able to splash in a puddle, go to a park where the water collects and waters the grass.
And you want to make sure it's clean. If this was a TV show, again, my face is cringing. It's like, yeah, I didn't think of that. When my grandson's here splashing around the puddle, we don't want a lot of animal feces in the water.
Yeah,
it's a really good thing to talk about. Where does the water ultimately go? You said it goes into the washes. Does it go into those big, huge storm drains? And then what's the conduit? I've never seen the end of the line.
Oh, we have a great map online to help increase people's watershed awareness. So it's actually something we've teamed up with Watershed Management Group to help promote. They do a lot of rainwater harvesting efforts, and they created these great maps where you can find out where your neighborhood wash is, whether it's underground or above ground, and then where it empties into the larger rivers.
And there are people that I am sure do want to know that, like, where does it go? And which leads me to the whole piece about one of the other tips you gave, which cracked me up. It's like, get to know your neighborhood wash. And I said to you, why? Why do I want to know my neighborhood wash? Where is my neighborhood wash? I actually walk in it. So it's a pretty beautiful spot here.
Great. Well, I encourage that because I'm a water enthusiast and I see the water.
Because you are the senior watershed planner.
And I like people to know why water is important and that we're really all connected through the watershed we live in. And so I like to encourage people to go out and maybe look at that map first to first know where you're going, but just take a walk and find out that where the water flows over the surface, where it runs to. You might end up walking downhill toward a wash. And then if you could even follow that wash further to a bigger water course.
Right.
Like the Rito or the Santa Cruz River, then you would start to notice things and be more acquainted with what the water does for our desert environment. You might start seeing along the Rito that there are cottonwood trees that don't grow anywhere else because in the desert they can only grow where there's extra water supply.
Right, so is that like a riparian zone?
Yeah,
riparian area.
And you might start noticing there's different birds that you see closer to the wash than outside of the wash. You might notice that it's cooler where the trees are shading.
If you go out to the Tanque Verde wash, that area, and you're driving and you have windows open, you can literally physically feel the temperature drop.
Yeah.
It's so green and lush out there, and the temperature can go down sometimes as much as 4 or 5 degrees. And I think that's a great point to reemphasize, is that the more, and I write about it on Facebook, probably ad nauseum, I probably get unfollowers from this, but the more that you go outside and connect with nature, the harder it becomes to do any damage.
Exactly.
You hear the birds. And I wrote a post about, 2 months ago, and I said I actually stopped on my walk because it's usually, exercise, get it done. I have 50 minutes. And I wrote that I actually stopped to listen to the birds and tried to count how many different sounds I heard.
Oh, great.
And someone wrote back to me, "Why don't you stop?" So I never forgot that. Now, every time I go on a walk, I stop at different points to just not just be in a rush to get the exercise part over, but to really be conscious. And there are beautiful things in the desert Southwest that you don't notice if you're in a hurry.
I think a big part of the Clean Water Starts With Me is to not just teach about those pollutants, but why we're doing it. And the washes are what the majority of wildlife depends on. A lot of that is bird species, migratory bird species, and I've learned that this southeastern Arizona is actually one of the largest birding destinations in North America. It's a large part of our
economy. It's a big tourist destination, yes, from China and Japan and Europe. People come all over.
And Patagonia. It's even out-competing the golf industry nowadays.
I love that.
Yeah.
Less water
needed. So we're protecting our economy even. And,
right.
I just think it's important for people also to have a sense of history, that these waters used to flow year-round. Orientation so that people hopefully will know that water flows in a northwesterly direction in Tucson.
Shocked me. I'm from back east, and I was like, the water is flowing the wrong way. Yeah. Clearly. It's the water is going upstream. How is this possible?
Yeah.
So, but you're right. It's all about connection.
And nowadays, it does evaporate and sink into the ground a little bit
before
it leaves the county. It doesn't reach an ocean. We're not protecting an ocean here, but we are protecting our desert ecology.
Okay, and that's good. So how are you getting the word out about the campaign? What are your strategies other than being a guest on Mrs. Green's World, Down to Earth with Mrs. Green? This is a fun way. And it gives a chance for you to give more information than just a little blurb.
Yeah, definitely. We also are on Facebook, so we'll share your Facebook posts. We have year-round, we have a website also that you can refer to. And then in the monsoon season, we push especially because people are more rain aware.
Right.
And we have bought, for at least the next couple months, we'll be in movie theaters, on bus
That's
benches.
That's a great idea. Movie theaters. Yeah. I read those because you're sitting there. It's a captive audience.
Yeah.
I think that's a really great idea.
We'll be at the Loft through September.
Okay, that's great. Locally owned, nonprofit.
We try to
do
local.
So many good things.
Because it's all about the partnerships.
Right. They're great partners for the environment.
Few local magazines, Zocalo, Tucson Weekly.
Love them.
We also do it in Spanish. We're in Arizona bilingual. Inside the buses, there's bus posters, and they actually give kudos to people for riding the bus because they're already doing their part.
Doing something green. Right,
yeah.
That's great. That's really great. And if you're riding your bike, that's a great way to not worry about polluting with the oil from your car and your brake fluid, but you don't want to be riding it in the monsoon.
Yeah, you have to wait out the storms.
That's an unbelievable part. Okay, so we have about 2 minutes left. What else would you like to share with our listeners? What information did we not cover? What is the biggest challenge that you continue to face in your role as senior watershed planner?
Well, our newest direction is to really try to emphasize the rainwater harvesting, the proactive element. So that's our direction now.
That's the prevention part you talked about.
Yeah.
Right.
And that stormwater managers are calling that green stormwater infrastructure or low impact design. And so that's the challenge is updating codes and guidance so that those things are more possible.
And I've had Brad Lancaster on the show, and he's Mr. Rainwater Harvester. I mean, he is really great.
Yeah, he brings us a lot of good advice.
He does. And you talk about creative ways to divert your water, even your gray water, from your washing machines and stuff like that. There's ways to use it to recycle it and not have it go and get away. Okay, I'm getting the one-minute warning here from our board master here. So in case you just tuned in, you'll get to listen to the whole recording when it's up after we have the show. And I interviewed Mead Mayer, who's the Senior Watershed Planner for the Sustainable Environment Program. Will you give us a shout out for your website?
Yes, it's pagstorm.com. So PAGSTORM.
That's so easy. Pagstorm.com.
Yeah.
Okay, and I always tell people they can listen and then ask Mrs. Green. So thank you for being a part of Down to Earth with Mrs. Green.
Thank you so
Spotlight
much.
On the Southwest. You are a great, informative guest. And tell all the folks at PAG, Mrs. Green said hello. I love the this partnership. I'm learning so much and sharing so much with the community.
Me too. It's a pleasure.
Make it a great green day, everybody. Mrs. Green's World.